Between the crude scribblings I have set down now and the undoubtedly masterful and fluid work I will be producing at the end of my life, I will take a ship back to Grand Teton, assuming it still exists, where I will announce the great work's premiere. The premiere itself won't be for another 50 or so years afterwards, depending on the extent of human space at that time. That will give time for word to reach even the most distant colonies, and for people to begin converging on Grand Teton for the performance. I will sleep while the venue is constructed. I already have something suitably lavish in mind, and an orchestra worthy of the event is assembled, or bred, or cloned, whichever the case may be. And when that 50 years is done, I will rise from slumber, step into the limelight, conduct my work, and in what little time remains to me, bask in a fame the like of which no living composer has ever or will ever know. The names of the great composers will be reduced to mere footnote entries, barely flickering embryo stars set against the gem-like brilliance of my own stellar conflagration. My name will ring down the centuries like a single undying chord. There was a long silence before I responded. Well, you've got to have something to aim for, I suppose. I suppose you must think me monstrously vain. I don't think the thought ever crossed my mind, Quillenbach. While I was speaking, I touched something at the back of one of the drawers. I'd been hoping to locate a weapon of some sort, something with a little more punch than the clockwork gun, but Vadim appeared to have managed without one. Still, I felt I had something. This is interesting. What have you found? I pulled out a matte black metal box the size of a cigar case, opening it to reveal 6 scarlet vials tucked into pouches. Set into the same case was something like an ornate steel hypodermic, with a gun-like handle, marked with a delicately painted bas-relief cobra. I don't know. Any thoughts? Not exactly, no. He examined the cache of vials with what looked like genuine curiosity. But I'll tell you one thing, it doesn't look legal, whatever it is. More or less what I was thinking. As I reached to take back the cash, Quillenbach said, "Why are you so interested in it?" I remembered the syringe which had slipped from the pocket of the monk in Amelia's cave. There was no way to tell for sure, but the substance I had seen in that syringe, admittedly in the dim light of the cave, looked much like the chemical in Vadim's cash. I remembered, too, what Amelia had told me when I had asked her about the syringe, that it was something the monk should not have had in Idlewild. Some kind of narcotic, then, and perhaps prohibited not just in the mendicant hospice, but across the whole system. I'm assuming this might open some doors for me. It might open a lot more than that, Quillenbach said. The very gates of hell, for a start. I've remembered something, I heard up in the parking swarm, concerning some very nasty substances doing the rounds. He nodded at the row of scarlet vials, one of which is something they call dream fuel. And this might be it. I don't know, but it's exactly the kind of thing I would expect our friend Vadim to be trading in. Where would he have got it from? I didn't say I was an expert, Tanner. All I know is that it has some unpleasant side effects, and whatever authorities there are in this system don't exactly encourage its use, or the possession of it, for that matter. It must have some uses, though. Yes, but exactly what they do with it I don't know. That device is a wedding gun, incidentally.